iPhone 5, and, you know, we listen to them all day. But it's really given us an opportunity to really delve into our Christianity at a much deeper level.
Right, and then there's also a great app. The KFUO app is wonderful. That's what we used on our way here, and we could hook up anytime we wanted to on the entire trip.
And the app is attached to your telephone or cell phone.
It's in the phone, yeah, but it plays right over our, we've got it set up so it plays over the car speakers. And you can also flip over to the classical station, too, if you want, which is great.
And there's a number of advantages. I know last night I gave you a CD, and it really helped you get to sleep, you told me.
We didn't make it to the end. I'm sorry, Pastor Tom. I'm sorry. But it was great while it lasted.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and thank you very much. Isn't it wonderful that wherever you go in the country, everybody knows about KFUO?
Well, actually, I think that's a bit of a problem. I think we need to get the word out.
I know Pastor Zwanisser, since he's come on board, he's attempting a number of items. You can get a bulletin kind of insert each Sunday about what's on KFUO.
Yes. And Issues does the same thing, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do more of that, and we hopefully when we get over to the International Center, we'll have more opportunity for advertising worldwide, too.
Well, I remember Luthenauer, and it seemed like with Luthenauer, there was always one person in every congregation that was sort of the cheerleader or the surrogate for Luthenauer. It was that person's job to make sure that the schedules and everything were out there and everybody was aware of it. But I think we need to get the message out to our congregations. It's important.
Lutheran Layman's League, of course, sponsors the Lutheran Hour, and so they have a number of groups in various congregations who make sure that the funds are there as well as Lutheran Hour keeps on going. Yes, what's really important here, this probably being one of the last days in this studio, this is the longest going radio studio in the world.
It's amazing.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I never knew that. Never knew it. It's impressive.
So, we are going to start another record, hopefully over at the International Center. But let's get to some theology right now, and my program being referred to as Law and Gospel. Maybe with John, I understand your background was not Lutheran. Can you tell us a little story how you became Lutheran?
Sure. I'm an Italian boy from Chicago, and I ended up going to Joliet Catholic High School, took off for college, and started working and just basically kind of dropped out of going to church and everything else and wasn't really participating. Met my wife. She's Lutheran, and we didn't really, or we weren't really that active when we were first married, but as we began to look around and ask questions, we naturally sort of gravitated to her Lutheranism, and that's where we ended up.
What do you see as specifically unique, say, about Lutheranism that may not be found in other denominations?
What I really like about Lutheranism is the honesty of the biblical interpretation and message. And you know, I'm kind of a studier and a reader, and I that's the part that I like the most, I guess.
And honesty, I guess I would put in theological terms, is that everything is Scripture interprets Scripture. So
that's right.
If I tell you something, and I've said this on the radio a number of times, and you disagree with me, challenge me, and if I can't find it in Scripture, turn the station, you're talking to a false teacher.
Absolutely.
Do you feel the same way, Sally?
Yes, I do.
How has Lutheranism helped you in particular?
Well, actually, I think that you, in particular, have helped Lutheranism and then naturally helped me as well, because I think the distinction between law and gospel is something that Lutherans need to hear as much as other Christians, and beyond that, of course, people who have never heard law and gospel.
A lot of people, and that was part of the CD I gave you last night, think when you're thinking of law and gospel, you're just thinking of the content. Like, thou shalt not kill, that's obviously law, and Jesus died on the cross for you sounds like gospel. But it's much more when we're talking about the distinctions between law and gospel. We're talking about how God wants us to properly use each of them in the particular context that we're involved with.
Right.
For example, if I had a young girl brought to my office because her parents wanted her to meet with me, she had been caught shoplifting at Target, would I give her law or would I give her gospel?
Well, I think she's already gotten the law, or else she wouldn't be at your office.
One could say that, but then if I said to her, and I always like using my wife's name for all these things, I said, okay, Louise, God forgives you your sin, and she looks at me and says, well, I don't really care because Target had cheated me out of some money, and they deserved what they got.
Mm-hmm.
So the real answer there is you don't know which one to give until you hear the attitude of the person.
Right.
For example, if you think you have to give law, she walks in and she says, Pastor, I am so sorry for what I did. I don't think my parents love me. I don't think God loves me. And I look at her and I say, thou shalt not steal. See, that would be inappropriate. Law and gospel takes a lifetime to learn properly. And it's learned, Martin Luther said, with the Holy Spirit in the school of experience, that the more times you go through it, the more you get to understand. So when we're talking about law and gospel in a text, we're not just talking about whether the passage you're reading is law or gospel. We're trying to see how Jesus uses these two doctrines of the Bible to make a point. Well, what's the primary point of giving someone the law?
To show them their sin is one reason.
Yes.
Yes, and also to provide a curb to their behavior. And then the third use is the part that I need your help with.
Yes, that's a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Curb, mirror, and rule. Rule would be, you know, put a ruler down and you get a straight line. Well, what that means is this. When you became a Christian, you did not spontaneously know the will of God in all areas. In fact, you continued to sin. So the third use of the law is purely informational. It has nothing to do with motivation. It just, for example, you might ask the question, well, look, I'm late for work. Can I go over the speed limit? And the law of God says, no, that isn't a proper exception. See, that's how God would be working. But if my wife is pregnant and having a baby, then the police would probably permit you to go over the speed limit in those cases. So the third use is only for Christians who are asking, what is the will of God in my life today? Now, you may find this interesting. I don't ever remember preaching the third use in the sermon.
Hmm.
But I did it a lot in adult instruction. Why?
Well, because you're dealing with Christians.
In a sermon, who've been confirmed already. I mean, who doesn't know adultery's wrong or lying's wrong or these kinds of things? But in adult instruction, I once had a Methodist couple who were thinking of becoming Lutheran, but they were pro-abortion. And they didn't realize that was against God's will. And then we went through the commandment, the thou shalt not kill, and examined it from a biblical point of view, and they changed their mind on it so that the law was able to help them get guidance as to what the will of God is. So that's what the third use is.
It's more of a refinement for people who are Christians and want to go a little bit deeper.
Well, who just want to know what's the will of God. For example, someone would come, we pastors get this all the time. They come to my office and say, you know, Pastor, I've got an offer of a new job, but I'm already working. Should I leave the job I'm working at and go to the new one? What's my answer?
It doesn't matter. Whatever decision you make, God will be with you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. The only time I can give an answer, if he says, well, my old job was selling drugs and my new one is working for the post office, then I would say, well, God would want you to work for the post office rather than sell drugs. But if it's a difference working for the post office or working for UPS, it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
For pastors to say what the will of God is, they have to have a Bible verse. That's why Lutheranism is so much involved with the Bible. And that's what KFUO is all about worldwide, in sharing with people the gospel. Now, by the way, if you want to phone in and talk to John or Sally about their journey, and with the help of KFUO, you can do so. Numbers in St. Louis are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And you would also be participating in the final broadcast of Law and Gospel in Studio A here at KFUO, because as indicated, we're going to be going to the International Center. Is there any particular Bible verse or passage that really helped you from a Lutheran point of view, either one of you, that you would think about?
You mentioned Galatians a lot, and I think that I've been doing a lot of reading, and I would say that that's one of the go-to books.
Yes.
And saved by faith and not through our works. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know where I heard it, but I think that I probably definitely fell into the camp of thinking that, well, if I'm a good person, if I don't do anything mm-hmm. wrong, that I'm going to heaven. Yeah. And I think if you asked most Christians today, I heard the number 70%.
Oh, yeah.
They think that all I have to do is just do good works.
Yeah.
And it's so...
Well, the
so
South
prevalent.
Is like a worker's paradise from that point of view. I mean, the South is all evangelical, working your way to heaven.
So you don't get too many good sermons on your radio down there outside of KFUO.
No, we've got the KFUO app to cover that.
We get a great sermon at our church, though. We go to Hope Lutheran in Birmingham. And,
yes.
Our pastor right now is Dr. Carl Beckwith, and
we found
Carl through Issues Etc. because he was a guest, and the church, even though it has about 50 members.
Right. There's four
couples.
They
advertise on Issues.
Yeah. Well, actually, one couple, Michael Otero, he heard Chris Roseborough on the radio and found Issues and then found Hope Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And then that other couple, John, who's been coming, they came directly because of Issues, etc. So there are six of us in this one little group.
It works.
Terrific.
And what was the book that Pastor Beckwith translated by Gerhardt?
Oh, yes.
Because he was interviewed by Pastor Zwanisser, in mm-hmm. fact.
Yes, that's what we heard about. Oh, I love Book Talk. Please tell Pastor Zwanisser I do. I love Book Talk. What is the name of the book? I can't think of it.
He's going to kill us
yes,
for not remembering.
Well, that's what mm-hmm. I always put people in a position mm-hmm. where they can't remember.
Yeah.
The name.
It's translation.
It's the condolences.
The condolences, that's it.
That's
yes.
right. Yeah.
And it's really wonderful stuff for people who are gravely ill or think that they're about to die.
I lost my uncle, my dad's father, just a few weeks ago, and it's very comforting. Very comforting.
In fact, you hit on the real purpose of Lutheran theology is to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I first got out of the seminary, I'm really interested in systematic theology and doctrine. So I remember doing a sermon once about the three wills of God, the will before the fall, during the fall, and after the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was spectacular. The professor gave me a C-. And I couldn't figure it out until later on when I discovered that sermons are not just to be doctrine. You use the doctrine for the purpose of comforting someone. And so there was nothing really in the sermon about the will of God except some good explanation about how God's will works. But when it comes finally down to it, the whole purpose is to use the law to create discomfort and then to use the gospel to create comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of the verses that I think supports that. It's Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. I just love the juxtaposition of the different tenses.
Mm-hmm.
We have been justified, but we now stand in this grace through our faith.
Because those who are living under the law, you've already mentioned, they just seem to have an assumption that their works make a difference to God. And the reason they're doing good works is so that they can have access to God. But here we find out that that access comes about not by what we've done, but by what Jesus Christ has done. And it is so hard for people to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though that, well, the devil works hard in them because the devil wants to make sure you take credit away from God.
Right.
The devil's always pleased when you do that. And so this is a perfect way of kind of doing that. So do you have a particular verse, Sally, that...
No, I would absolutely agree.
I've got
with
the
John.
Bible in front
yes,
of me.
You're right.
Yes. but you know, right, that verse starts with the word therefore, mm-hmm. and it's referring to verse 25 of chapter 4, and it's because he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's why we have that.
I find even a lot of Lutherans don't understand that when I ask the question, what did Jesus Christ do on the cross for you? And they often will say that he took away our sins. Mm-hmm. That this could be understood, but the fact of the matter is, the way they understand it, it's not, because all you have to do is look in the mirror of the law and you see that you are continuing to be a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
What Jesus did, and the Galatians passage talks about this, that he became a curse for us. In other words, what he took away is the punishment we deserved of eternal damnation. He suffered that in the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And therefore, we're comforted because the forgiveness of sins, the best definition I've come up with so far, is that God no longer holds us accountable for our sin. And that means Christ was held accountable. That's why he's a Savior. And that's why we don't get to heaven by using Jesus primarily as an example, but as a Savior. How refreshing, with Pastor Beckwith's sermons, is it that you hear this message each week?
It's beyond refreshing, and it's something that we've learned that we have to have every week. If we could have it every day, that would be better. But once a week, we can count on it. And then, of course, in between, we have Issues, and we have KFUO, and we have Chris Roseborough, and all of our other friends.
Yeah, Chris Roseborough was, in fact, on Issues, etc., I think, mm-hmm. 2 days ago.
Yeah.
When they were talking about those large box churches and how their theology is quite different than Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
He's an expert in that area because that's something he kind of came out of.
Yep, Church of the Nazarene. Mm-hmm.
So, when you meet someone who's a Christian and they don't yet quite understand this concept of law and gospel, how do you try and get it across to them?
I've got a gal that I walk and I see every day, and I was just talking to you about this, and she's one of these people who thinks she's living a good life and she can work her way to heaven. Mm-hmm. And she's quite bold about it. I said, Alice, do you really think that you're living that good of a life and you can work your way to heaven? Yes, I do. So I'm working on her slowly in little bits and pieces. But one of the things I loved, Pastor Baker, was your balloon analogy.
Okay.
With the pin and the axe.
Yes.
And I'm going to get around to mentioning that to her.
Namely, that if you take a helium balloon, what will burst it, a small pin or an axe? And the fact is, if the pin, we say, is gossip and the axe is murder, both burst the balloon.
Correct.
And it's really impossible to put it back together.
Right, and that's going to be the way that I first communicate to her that if she's ever even had a bad thought, she's not quite living the life that she needs to be living to earn her way into the presence of a holy God.
Well, I'll tell you, the bad thought she has is that she doesn't have bad thoughts.
Right, right, right. I'll see if I can get that around.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah. In fact, another way mm-hmm. that you could use, I've done with some people like this, they say, do you thank God each day that you're not like other people who continue to sin?
Oh.
In other words, use the Pharisaic mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the publican kind of thing.
Right.
And say, what was the publican saying that Jesus said he's going down justified where the Pharisee wasn't, and it was, God be merciful to me, a poor...
Miserable sinner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther, in the 95 statements he made in 1517, one of the first ones is that the life of the Christian is one of repentance. In other words, It's not one where you start doing sinless good works all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very hard to tell a Christian from somebody else. It's just almost impossible, because Christians are just as much sinners as anyone else, but a lot of it is found in their confession of faith, whether or not Jesus is the focus of their life or not. And it sounds like at the church that you're at, Jesus is the focus.
Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to just share? Believe it or not, our time's almost up.
Okay, then I would like to share that this radio program needs to be about 3 to 4, maybe 5 times longer than it is.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, actually, it can be if you go to Elk Prairie this Sunday. I'm going to be there for 2 hours with a Bible study. And since I'm not going to be on live next week, I'm going to be back in Trinity, Manitoba, 2 Sundays from now. And that's, of course, up near Springfield, Illinois, 9 o'clock worship service and a 10:30 Bible study. We'd love to have you there. What time are the church services where you're at again, and the name of the church?
It's Hope Lutheran, and it's actually in Irondale, which is a suburb of Birmingham. And our new church time is at 9, followed by Bible study at 10:15.
And you're going to be back for Sunday? No, you're going to Good Shepherd, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to stay in Collinsville and go to church there if they'll have us.
Well, I've been talking about the different kinds of fellowship. They won't have you in the pulpit. That's pulpit fellowship. They will have you in the altar. And then there's faith fellowship. But we also celebrate what I call pew fellowship, which means anybody can come into the pew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, the bigger a sinner you are, then in your own mind, the better it is.
Yeah, those are exactly the kind of people we want coming to church.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there. I know Good Shepherd well. Pastor Walther is the pastor there, and there's no doubt that he's going to allow anybody to come in. Well, this is our last moments here on KFUO in Studio A. Thank you very much for all of you who have been listening. And keep us in your prayers as we move over to the International Center. And on that particular day, guess what the reading I'm going to be looking at is on that Monday? It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does that mean? And you're going to see it has something to do with law and gospel. Once more, John and Sally, thank you so very much for being with me.
Thank you, Pastor Baker.
God bless you, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.